a motorcycle so he could be at the hospital because he didn't know that there was even anything wrong. And if he would not have had that accident, he would have been walking around and it would have just kept growing.
Yeah.
And so I told her, I said, you know, we know that God has a plan, and but God has confirmed that he has a plan because God has already shown you. I mean, I'm doing this because you need, you want me. So she, of course, wanted the church to pray for him. They said it was a very aggressive cancer. You know, he's young. They have, I mean, I think he's late 30s. Two kids, so please remember him. And remember, and she told Paulette, said, well, tell everybody I love them and I miss them so much. So keep remembering them, too. They're still trying to find a church.
Okay.
Mark had been having surgery. He had full passes. And the man in was in the hospital, like the big ladies in it. How the hell said it? Anyway, there are people who will help you in the hospital. They know about that their funds and everything else with that hospital that people have donated because the hospital has been good to them and treated the children and all that. So maybe she had a good concerns.
I hope so. And Jared, he's had the stress test. We still don't know the results. It seems like we're in slow motion.
Understand that. It's frustrating.
Yeah. See, I still remember the homeless man that I was talking to. His name is Michael.
Okay. Another prayer request.
Just remember to go to
Yeah. Dennis got to talk to Bob yesterday, and they definitely need our prayers. Well, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, and we just welcome you in this morning. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the wonderful Savior that you are. And we thank you, Lord, that you reach down to each and every one of us in a way that each of us needs it, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, we welcome you into this service. We welcome you into our hearts and minds. Lord, we just ask for your help in laying aside the cares of the world, Lord, so that we can just spend this time focusing on you, Father. And Lord, we just lift up these prayer requests to you, Father. Lord, we lift up Thomas. Father, we pray for you to be glorified in his life, for this to be a testimony to him of your love. Lord, we just pray for his healing. Lord, we pray for this niece, Father, that is needing a touch from you, Lord. She needs guidance in her life, Lord, that only you can give. And we just pray for her total healing, mentally, physically, Lord. We just pray for a touch on her, Father. And Lord, we pray for Michael. We pray for your provision in his life. We pray for his salvation. We pray for you to be glorified in his life as well. And Lord, we pray for Bob and Danetta this morning. We just lift them up before you. We just ask that they be able to feel your arms of love. Lord, that they know their church loves them, that you love them, and that you're there to touch them and supply their needs, Father. Lord, we just pray for a miracle in their life. And Lord, we just pray for anybody here, Lord, that needs a touch from you. We pray for those that don't have electricity this morning to have provision and for the electric to come back on. Lord, we pray for those that are delayed in traffic to be kept safe. And Lord, we just invite you into this service. We invite you into our hearts and minds. And Lord, we just pledge to glorify you in every word spoken, every song sung, and every testimony given. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Got a scripture for you this morning. This is from John. I kind of thought I would depart from Psalms for a little bit since we're coming up on Easter and just want to focus, you know, on what was important to Jesus during that time. And John 13:36 is where I'm going to start. And it's he's already had the triumphal entry. So I might be doing this a little bit out of order, but, you know, it was the Lord's order. So we'll just respect that. And starting with verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, usually we stop there and go on to the next chapter, but this is all one thought. He's telling him he's going to deny him. And then he says, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. And some versions say dwelling places. So can you think about how big our Father's house must be if he's got many dwelling places in that house? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there is so much in those verses. We've got Peter that's getting ready to, you know, he thinks he's ready to die for his Lord. And he was. I believe he really was. But Jesus is like, you'll end up denying me, you know, before the night's over. You know, it's not going to be like you think it is, but it's okay. I'm still your Savior. I still love you. I'm going to come back. In fact, I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to fix up your bedroom in my Father's house, and I'm going to come back and get you. And not just Peter, but all of us. You know, we've all let down the Lord, but he's coming back for us, and he's got our bedroom fixed up, and we're going to dwell in our Father's house. We've got our own room, but you know, there's kind of two edges to that, because if we're all going to live in our Father's house, we've all got a bedroom there, we've all got to get along for eternity. How many of you ever shared a bedroom with a brother or sister? It wasn't always pretty, I'll just say that. Me and my sister shared a bedroom, and sometimes, you know, during growing up, we had it divided, and this was her side and this was my side, and you didn't cross over. But, you know, that's not what God wants in heaven. He wants us all to get along. But Jesus has gone to prepare a place in our Father's house. We all get to live there. What a privilege. What a joyous thing that is. And even though we let him down in many, many ways, you know, if we repent, he's right there. He's right there ready to deliver us, wrap his arms of love around us, and he's going to come back and take us home and give us our own bedroom in our Father's house. So this first song that I picked out is Sanctuary. You know, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. But we also get to live in the big sanctuary. So I thought this song was kind of appropriate. And the other one, we're just going to glorify God, I hope. and just because he is glorious. We'll make a joyful noise. Amen. I like that.
You sing this twice or three times? Sanctuary, pure and holy,
So, does anybody have any hymns we want to sing? I think we still have someone stuck in traffic. So, Plan B,
130, in Book 10, 130.
Book 10, 130.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody got a testimony this morning? No testimony? God hasn't been good to anybody this week? Amen. That's great.
We have church right there on my house talking about the Lord and talking about things in the Bible. So the other day he stopped and his telephone rang and his mom, she got home from work. I've never met him. And so he said, I'm here talking to my friend Nadine. And so I said, I guess that's the dog, was it? And he was looking at me and I said, tell my friend Moore. He said, my friend is Aiden Moore.
That's great.
I've been working in the yard and I said, well, I don't look like your mom. And so she came over and she talked with me. And I was just saying, it was getting dark when she left. And, but anyway, I'm so glad to be this, and Tina, she had called and she had come out with me and I said, I'm out front here at our church with my buddy. But he did some of the mails. He is so nice. And he can really tell his mom is going well.
I was going to say, his mom's doing a good job.
She's doing very good job. But then to be your daughter, she helped us talk about her relatives. And it's people that we knew when we got
small world. Yeah.
That, you know, that's one of the reasons that I talk about my kids. When you're in a crowd of people, be careful what you say because you don't know who knows who. And you can hurt a whole lot of people and not even know the
children. Amen.
You know,
amen.
Who knows who.
That's right.
So we should always be careful.
And God knows us all. That's exactly right.
Watch your tongue.
Yeah, amen.
Should watch your tongue all the time.
Amen.
Pray for me, I love all of you.
We love you too. Anyone?
I'm thankful too. I was supposed to have Hunter last weekend, and went up to John Donna's house, and he had woke up from a nap, and he didn't want to come. And John called me a few days later and was afraid that I was upset. And I said, oh, that just tells me that he's getting attached to you all, and that's a good thing. And again, thinking about how the Lord worked out finding a family for him, I am so thankful. I couldn't have done a better job, of course. He, everything I asked for, he did it, and I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen. Missed the little feller, but I'm glad he's in the Lord's hands there. What else? I'm just thankful to be here, and you know, just thankful that we have this opportunity to come in the Lord's house and just worship him, and that he loves us. You know, just in spite of where we've been or how we've been, he just loves us, and he's given us such provision, and I never cease to be amazed at his love. It just, his loving kindness is truly everlasting. Also wanted to say, we've got more headphones coming, so if you didn't get a set of headphones this morning and you still need one, we've got more coming. We've got 4 sets. We wanted to make sure they work before we made a big investment, but we do have more on order because we know it's hard to hear in here. And we also got the speakers up here this morning. Hey, that's a praise report because Dennis was able to carry them. Well, with some help, they're big, but they're here. They're going to have to be wired up, but we're making some good headway to fix it so that people can hear in here. We have a beautiful sanctuary, but these high ceilings just capture the sound and carry it away from us. So. And I also want to welcome Connie and Melinda, and don't want to embarrass you, but we're just glad you're here.
No, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be saved, you know.
Amen.
Glad to be a child of the King. You know, like the song says, look and live. You know, all we have to do is look, and we see what's going on around us, and we know that the times are exciting, you know. But all you hear is everybody talking about how bad it is, what's in store, people want it, but times are getting exciting. Christ coming back is getting close.
Amen.
And closer, you know. And it's getting so excited that when you look and you see these things and you know that Christ's return is growing near, then you get excited inside. And you get, you know, you it's just like life comes alive within you because you know that the time is almost here.
Amen.
You know, the time is almost here.
Amen.
And like the old song says, you know, look and live. You people better be looking, and they better be watching, or they're going to get caught asleep, like the word said. They're going to get caught not watching and not looking, and Christ is going to return. And they're not going to see it, you know, and they're not going to see him return. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, you know, and that's what church is about. That's what coming here. We're getting ready.
Amen.
I don't know what you come for, but I come to get ready. And I come to get ready to meet my Jesus. You know, you come, you hear the word sang, you hear the word preached, you hear the word taught, you know, you're prepared to meet Jesus. You're prepared for his coming, you know. And we take that preparedness and we take it out into the world.
Amen.
You know, that preparedness gives you the light that you need to shine out there in the world.
Amen.
And we don't come, we don't keep our lights stoked up, we don't keep our fires kindled up, then we get outside the church and we're in the world, people just look at us and they go, well, he's just another person in the world. You know, we have to keep everything kindled up. Every once in a while, we got to take a stick, we got to stir the Holy Spirit up in us, you know, and get it going. I, you know, people said, well, you're always happy. You're always, no, I'm not always happy. I go through trials. I go through burdens. I have my downs and I have my ups. But you don't want me to still be happy in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank God that he's given me a spirit that keeps me happy in the Lord. Because when I get down, I said, all I have to do is start praying and talking to the Lord and go to the Word. You know, it gives me joy.
Amen.
It gives me peace within, you know. I'm not going to find that peace out there anymore. But I can find it in Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
So pray for me that God just keeps healing, keeps working with me, and keep using me. I want to be used.
Amen.
I want to be used. I don't just want to be an old stump. Somebody makes carving in. You see all these guys with these chains on carving these things on these tree stumps and stuff. And then they just set there. I don't want to be that way. You know, I want to be out. I want to go. I want to go out and meet people. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to praise the Lord. I want people to know that it's real. It's not something that you just read in the book. It was inspired by God to write. It gives you life. It gives you joy. It gives you happiness. It gives you comfort for all of our trials and tribulations. You know, and I thank God for this. And just pray for
it. Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, if not.
I wish you walk around and shake hands. You forgot.
I did forget. And I'm not giving the preacher much time this morning. But let's have
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. Everybody walk around, shake hands, and welcome Connie and Melinda.
Thank you. Most of us think of Cynthia as being, you know, a quiet and demure. Is that the right word? Well, of course she's not, but no, I was thankful. I mean, she gave it her best shot yesterday. She was actually out on the ground. We got some ramps and got our Craftsman mower up on a ramp, and she was out there underneath that thing trying to get a belt back on. Oh, your Sunday school showed up. trying to get the belt back on, and she has small enough fingers to reach it, but they're not strong enough fingers to reach it. But she got it awfully close, and just got to get it over that last pulley, and we'll be good to go. But yeah, why am I not helping? If you know arthritis, you know that. See, when I was in school, I mean, high school, we had, I don't know if this even goes on anymore, that it was a weird game. But you had this stick that was about that long and about that big around, and people, you'd get a hold of it, and then you would just basically wrestle with it and try to get it away from the other person. I was never defeated in that. I have had such a strong grip. Now I can be holding something and it just goes, whoop, it's gone. So time changes things. And I'm killing time right now. We don't have it to kill. You're in luck this morning because Teresa's going to teach. She's a little shy, but she up here she is, outside of here she's not so much, but this is required by our constitution and bylaws. You may not have caught that part, but every year you have to hear about why it's important to tithe. And this isn't begging for money. Always give that disclaimer. You guys are great tithers. Even during COVID, tithes kept coming in and we paid the bills. This church is blessed. I mean, it is blessed. But we are supposed, it's called teaching as reminding. That's part of a class that I had taken seminary, is teaching as reminding. So this is just reminding us of why. Good morning. Yeah, I'm going to point you out. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? But Teresa, I forgot what I was talking about, so it's all yours.
Well, I don't like standing up here. I like over there. I feel like I need to be, don't need to be back here. As he said, that this is a necessary topic. I know when I was studying about tithes and offerings, I think we already know that just because someone is up here speaking on the topic doesn't mean that they're the expert. I'm sure there are other people in the congregation that are a lot more about, well, Cynthia's an accountant, you said, so she may be, she'll be, we need to elect her as a deacon. But because I'm a deacon, I get to speak. But when studying about tithes and offerings, what does the Lord say? Doesn't really matter what we say. Doesn't matter what mom and dad taught you. What does the Lord say about it? And when I think about tithes and offerings, do I want, when I come to meet him, for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And that's in Matthew. Or do I want him to say, thou wicked and slothful servant, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do I want him to be proud of me for what I have done with my money? Or do I want him to be ashamed? And when I think about speaking on this topic, has anybody heard somebody say, that's all that church thinks about is money? And if you're one of those people that have said that, it could be that we're holding on too tight to our money because we feel like they're wanting us to give more. And that could be the Lord dealing with you. But be careful. Don't hold on too tight to your money. And looking at the Old Testament, and the last time I talked about money, it was mostly Old Testament. And in Leviticus, the tithe is to support the priesthood. And in Malachi, it tells us about bringing our tithes to the storehouse, which is the church, to support the church. And in Malachi, it talks about us robbing, or the Israelites robbing God of their tithes and offerings because they were not giving tithes and offerings. So in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So he is challenging us You can't outgive him. You can't outgive God. And imagine, as I mentioned the last time I spoke with it, imagine if everyone did give their fair share. And the story we talked about was when they gave so much, they had, the church had so much that they were told, stop, enough, enough giving. And I've never, I don't think in my time I've ever heard of that happening. But all of that is Old Testament. And do we go by the Old Testament? Some people say yes, some people say no, but let's look at the New Testament. But woe unto the Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So, should we tithe and not have good spiritual conduct? Don't waste your time. Given your tithes and acting like the devil, don't do it. It's a waste of the time. So our spiritual conduct is more important than our giving. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. So, alms. The definition is of alms. Tithe is a tenth, if you want it. And if we believe that the Old Testament is applicable to us today, that's a tenth that you give to the church. Alms, the definition, something such as money or food given freely to relieve the poor, distributing alms to the needy. So, alms, we should not do it to be seen, or that is our reward. When we give alms, it should be in secret. Shouldn't have to tell everybody, and we should. He will reward us openly. And if we are helping someone else, it should be done to glorify God, not ourselves. And we should give even in sparse times in 2 Corinthians 8, just like the Macedonians did. And they, even in their times when they didn't have much, still gave. Maybe not as much, but we are still asked to give when we just have a little. And which again reminds me, I don't know what the song keeps popping in my head, little as much when God is in it, what he can make out of a little. And labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. So I like that song. I think it tells us a lot. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give,
and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. So, it's not a commandment to give, but it's a test of your love. If you give do you love, or is it just words? Do you say you love God, but are you sincere? Do you really love him? Your tithes can answer that question, yes or no. And I wonder, this is a church that had promised to, they wanted to give, and a time had gone by, and now they were, and they had committed to give previously, and they were going back to them and saying, okay, are you still committed to give the way you said you were? And if you are, then give freely. And I wonder if this is where the saying, put your money where your mouth is, comes from sometimes. And give in proportion to what you have. If you have a little, give a little. If you have a lot, give a lot. Luke 12:47-48. And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. This is New Living Translation. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So if the Lord has rewarded you with much, much is expected. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. So we need to give eagerly. He asked us to give eagerly, don't begrudge giving. Give according to what you have. You should not give so much that you do without and you go hungry and you're giving money to feed someone else. And later on, when you are in need, the idea is that we share with each other, and all of us don't. We help each other. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promise is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So a willing gift, not grudgingly, generous, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. It should not be for either of those reasons. And I'm trying to finish. I'm almost finished. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So he'll give generously and provide all we need. And he almost challenges us, as we give to others, we can't outgive him. It's not a commandment, but how much do we love him is an example of how much we give.
Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. So our giving is also an example of we will be blessed if we give. God will be uplifted if we give. We need to be generous with what we've got, and God should get the glory.
And they will pray for you with deep affections because of the overflowing grace of God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. So, what God does with, and I always tell myself, God doesn't need our money. He can do a lot with a little bit, but we need to give. It's an example of our love. If we think of the rich man who got more and instead of sharing it, he built bigger barns to put his stuff in, and he was told, he told himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And in Luke 12, 20 and 21, he was told, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So do we want to, when we meet the Lord, do we want him to say, well done? Or do we want to be called wicked because we've been stingy? It's not a commandment, but what do we want when we meet the Lord? And that's it.
That's where everybody goes.
But it is. It's important that we remember that. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but predominantly the verses from the New Testament come from 2 Corinthians. And I've always, you know, when people complain to me, well, you ask for money. Why are you asking for money? Well, it's biblical. Read 2 Corinthians. A lot of people have never read 2 Corinthians. They don't like 2 Corinthians. Very rarely does anybody preach on it because 2 Corinthians is, you know, unless they're a televangelist, they love 2 Corinthians because it's all about giving, giving of the tithes from beginning to end. There are other things in there, yes, but they are in there to support him saying, you know, you need to give. You need to be giving in tithes and offerings. I don't do it enough as far, I mean, not tithe, but I don't announce, and I should do it more. We don't pass a plate because the plate's right there. And personally, I just don't like to make people feel uncomfortable. And it's like the plates get passed, and it's kind of like you feel like they're waving it on your face. Well, here, aren't you going to put something in it? Yeah. So we don't go there. On the box, on the right-hand side of the door, there's a box hanging on the wall that says alms. And then there's some who don't want to walk to the front of the church. Why is it at the front of the church? Well, because that's the way it was done in the Bible. So that's what we have. But we also have a box sitting right at the door there, and that is for tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings, yeah, it helps in this church as far as paying speakers. We have guest speakers. We have groups that come in, and that money helps support that. But the number one reason for tithes is to help people when they're hurting financially after disaster. It's there to help those people. And that's something that I think we should always be looking for ways to increase that area. There's a lot of people who are hurting. There's a lot of people who have a lot of pride. And we just need to be aware of those. I know I've asked, you know, at the beginning of winter, okay, does everybody have fuel? You have fuel oil, you have electric, you have wood, you know, whatever it takes, whatever you need, make sure you have it. Because if you don't, just come and let us know. It's no big deal. We'll get it to you. It's no big deal. It's more important that you take care of yourself and your family. That's the most important thing. And that goes on into other things. I second everything that she said. It's not a commandment, but it is definitely an act of love. Cynthia more than me, I have to confess, Cynthia is rigid about tithing. Back when we were first married, it was tight. I mean, money was, we lived in a 300 square foot mobile home, and she could take one chicken and make meals out of that chicken all week long. You know? And I think that's partly God, because that's a lot of food to eat in 1 week from one chicken. So I always felt like God was kind of increasing it and gave her a lot of wisdom on how to do that. But, you know, she also learned to make her own noodles and all that kind of stuff. But God has always, always blessed us. There were times when I would say, Cynthia, you know, we really need to get ready for winter. We need to store up some money. We really can't afford to tithe. And I would say that, yes. And she would say, Dennis, we can't afford not to tithe. And she always made sure those tithes were paid every week. And we were challenged back in those days. Don't just be legalistic. You know, we like to think, say that sometimes, well, you're trying to throw that legalism stuff on me. Well, let's not be legalistic about it. Give more than 10%. Ooh. And this is just something she and I was challenged with back in the early days, and we've done it ever since. It was 10% plus a little more, and usually we would increase it in increments of 5%. We give far more than 10% now. And God continues to bless us. We've gone from a 300 square foot house to a 3,000 square foot house. This is all by the work of God. I promise you, it was totally God, totally God. We could not have done any of that on our own. And I just know that God does reward. I mean, I've always heard the televangelists and, you know, all those groups that talk about, you know, you send into this ministry and God's going to multiply that back to you. Well, I think you can take that a little bit too far. I think they have taken it a little bit too far. But just as my own personal testimony, I can say, God, you just can't outgive God. You just can't do it. He is always there. He was, you know, and one thing about it, you know, I talk about us increasing our tithe. There's other ways that we've been able to increase it. There are things that we buy that you know, it doesn't go through the church, but it's part of what we call our ministry. For many years now, I've bought Bibles to hand out to people. Got here, was going to do that, found out the church was already doing it. So I didn't have to get into that. But I mean, there's just different things that you start giving in to bless. And that's all the whole thing is blessing other people. And you get blessed by it too. And I'm not here to re-preach. I'm just saying, you know, Teresa did a good job. I appreciate what she had to say and the way she presented it. I know how hard it was for her to use the NLT instead of the KJV. not really. I really liked how it was worded. It worked out well. And it's, you know, what kind of a altar call do you have after that? Well, you know, you still need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the number one thing. That's where Teresa started. If you don't know him, then the rest of it's pointless. Yeah. You're not going to buy God's favor. It's just not going to happen. So the most important thing is that you know him above all else, and that he is the center of your life. I've been talking to people a lot about that of late, it seems. But he needs to be the center of your life. Everything needs to be focused on that, and everything needs to come out of that in our lives. And you watch what God can do in your life. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as, and I'm going to use both of them, not just Savior, but as Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to correct that. Also, if you just need prayer, just need prayer. If you need prayer, we're happy to pray. We anoint. Yeah, whatever the need may be, we'll pray with you during this song.
Book 10, page 26. Mm-hmm.